coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
So again, food is one of those entry points. It's something that has been made incredibly palatable over the years. And while that means it might taste good, we need to appreciate that it is activating these circuits within our bodies, within our brains, that are making our decisions more impulsive, more short-term oriented, and in the big picture, taking us away from the decisions that will lead us to health and will lead us to happiness.
Hey everyone, it's Drew. As a listener of the Broken Brain Podcast, you know that quality is really important to me, especially when it comes to what I eat. Being busy with work and family can make it hard to eat well, but here's the but. I never want to let my diet goals slip to the wayside, so I always make sure to have some nutritious foods on hand that are quick and easy to grab. That's why I was super excited to discover some of the products from Paleo Valley that help me eat right even when I'm busy and on the go, which is usually most of the time. There's so many products out there that either claim to be healthy and really aren't, or they are healthy and they just don't taste good. And here's the thing, I know, having been in the health world for over 20 years now, taste actually really does matter. Paleo Valley nailed it with their both high quality ingredients and really amazing taste and texture in their pasture raised turkey sticks and superfood bars. Their pasture raised turkey sticks are made with truly pasture raised turkeys, given full access to outdoor pesticide free pasture. And their superfood bars are made without gluten, grain, soy, or added sugar and contain 100% grass fed bone broth protein. My personal favorite is their dark chocolate chip. It's incredible. If you ever felt like eating healthy can't coincide with the busy schedule, you should definitely check out Paleo Valley. Right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off their first order. Just go to paleovalley.com/brokenbrain to check out their clean Paleo Valley products and take advantage of this deal. That's Paleo Valley, P-A-L-E-O, Valley, valley.com/brokenbrain. And I highly recommend trying out their delicious pasture-raised turkey sticks and superfood bars for easy, healthy food on the go. All right, now let's get back to today's episode. Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. When it comes down to what we're made of, so much of it is about food. Food literally builds us brick by brick, cell by cell. That means what we eat provides the building blocks that make up the entire body, which means, unfortunately for a lot of people, they're made up of junk. Our poor food choices gravely impact our brain health, resulting in behaviors that leave us more lonely, anxious, depressed, illness prone, and more overweight than ever before. My guest on today's mini episode, Drs. David and Austin Perlmutter and Sean Stevenson, talk to us about how our health, our relationships, and even our thinking have been damaged by our Western processed food diet. They discuss how our lifestyles and diet impact our brain function and our ability to make good choices, as well as how we interact and show up for our relationships. Let's listen in, starting with my interviews with Drs. David and Austin Perlmutter. I want to read a passage, a sentence from the book. Our brains are being gravely manipulated, resulting in behaviors that leave us more lonely, anxious, depressed, distressful, illness prone, and overweight than ever before. So you talked about those two aspects, which is how do we help and support people to actually make these decisions and implement change in their life to achieve whatever goal that they want to focus on. But let's start off with what is actually hijacking our brain that it makes it difficult to do so. Can you describe the landscape and the state of threats that our brains are under today?
Sure. Well, let's start with one of the most important and probably most straightforward of these. It's food. We need food. We need to eat food to keep going. But what is it that we're putting into our bodies? Well, a recent study showed that 68% of the foods that people eat and buy in the store have added sugar. We know sugar isn't really a good thing for us, but the question has to be, what is it doing to our thinking? What is it doing to our brains? And this is the question that I think we're now able to answer, but we haven't been looking into nearly enough. What is sugar doing to our brains? Well, sugar fosters inflammation, which listeners know is not good for the body. Chronic inflammation has been implicated in a variety of problems, things like heart disease, things like Alzheimer's disease. What we're understanding now is that inflammation, this process that sugar upregulates, changes our thinking. So let's let that sink in. It's not that it changes our thinking in the long run. It changes our thinking right now. Inflammation has been shown in several recent trials to bias our decision-making towards short-term impulsive thinking. So to put that into context, if you're eating a diet that increases inflammation, you're going to make more short-term oriented decisions, like eating a diet that increases inflammation, choosing the wrong foods to be eating. And that transcends just diet, it gets into other things. If you're somebody who struggles with online shopping, now you have a diet that increases inflammation, you're going to be picking the short-term reward, and that means your shopping cart might be filling up online with things that you don't need. So again, food is one of those entry points. It's something that has been made incredibly palatable over the years, and while that means it might taste good, we need to appreciate that it is activating these circuits within our bodies, within our brains, that are making our decisions more impulsive, more short-term oriented, and in the big picture, taking us away from the decisions that will lead us to health and will lead us to happiness.
And let me add, before we move on from food, and because it is a very important topic, because we recognize that in a simplistic model, there are two areas of the brain that are involved in decision-making. The prefrontal cortex, which is the more advanced area, if I may, and the more primitive, if I may, amygdala. And, you know, there's a balance between the two. We tend to, with inflammation, unfortunately, have more input from the primitive amygdala, and as such, our decisions are not really looking at the future, as opposed to if we can reconnect to the prefrontal cortex. And that is the area of the brain that allows us to participate in a process of thinking of the long-term consequences of our actions today. It allows us to be more empathetic. It allows us to be more compassionate. It helps to tamp down this sense of us versus them. That comes from the amygdala. So we're trying to reconnect to the prefrontal cortex. And, you know, as per our discussion of food and inflammation, inflammation absolutely threatens that connection. And I have to say that a thought came to me this morning while in the shower. Some of my best thoughts come to me in the shower. And having read the New York Times this morning, they had an interesting article about what's going on in Brazil with reference to deforestation in the Amazon. Not a good thing. I think most people would agree with that. But that said, what has happened to the thought process around the globe is influenced by the globalization of the Western pro-inflammatory diet. That as this Western diet finds its way to every corner of the globe, it's changing how people across our planet think and behave, locking them more into short-term reward-based decision-making and away from long-term consequence-based thinking and being empathetic towards their neighbor, towards their future selves, towards the planet. So our discussion just about food could take us, you know, hours and hours, and that would be actually a good thing. But
and so in a way, you're almost saying, just to like break it down very clearly, like sugar and other processed foods, which you talk to most people and they say, I don't really eat sugar. I'm not eating sugar. But Andrew, it's in our food. It's in everything already. It's already in your pasta sauce, and it's already in so many of the health products that you're getting. Even if it's pure cane sugar or other stuff, it's so pervasive that's there. This is encouraging the factor of inflammation, the cycle of inflammation in the body, and that can even make you more selfish, more aggressive.
It's exactly what Austin said, and that is that you know, it's actively added. And this is not a conspiracy theory. We know that the statistics indicate that around 68% of the 1.2 million foods sold in the grocery store have added sweetener. That's, you know, I don't know if we can ever say that's a fact. Somebody may say, no, the world is flat, but it's you know, if you take the foods and you look at them, you look at the labels, that's what you see. Now, you might not see sugar. You might see a high fructose corn syrup or, you know, people think that, well, maybe it's okay because it's cane sugar or it came from organically raised honeybees or maple syrup that was grown on trees that people prayed around or whatever. It's sugar and it is pro-inflammatory and it is distancing your ability to make good decisions.
My next guest and good friend, Sean Stevenson, is the author of the international best-selling book, Sleep Smarter, and the creator of the Motto Health Show, one of the top podcasts in the world. He is the founder of the Advantage Integrative Health Alliance, a company that provides wellness services for individuals and organizations worldwide. Sean has been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, New York Times, and many other media outlets. He's also an in-demand keynote speaker and speaks at a lot of universities and conferences. Sean talks to us about how our nutrition affects our relationships and our ability to resolve conflicts and even proclivity to aggressive behavior. Let's listen in to Sean's episode.
But food is one of the most powerful determinants on how we relate to other people. And as a matter of fact, just socially, everything we do is really revolved around food. It's how we evolved. And so food isn't something we could put in this pithy little box, you know? And so, and also our environment affects what we eat, but what we eat also affects our environment. And so to put that into context for people, there was a really interesting study, and this was conducted by researchers at The Ohio State University. They wanted to see how folks having dysregulated blood sugar, how does that affect their ability to relate with their partner, who they love? This is their partner. This is somebody that they're in a loving relationship with. And there's this term now called hangry, but this is a real thing. And so what they found was, and this is something we do all the time in our culture regularly, is we eat a food that creates this, you know, big blood sugar response, and then we go hypoglycemic, our blood sugar drops. And for us, how we evolved, that's a very, very strong sign of danger. And so your body responds by increasing cortisol, increasing adrenaline, when your blood sugar crashes. And so what they found was that folks who were in a relationship, when they were able to create dysfunction with their blood sugar, they found it far less likely for folks to resolve their relationship problems. And they found that they were much more aggressive towards their partner. Now, we kind of know this. These are things we might experience in our lives, but we've never really like pay attention to it. If you look at it, so often we get into conflicts when we're hungry, or nutrient deprived, we'll put it like that, when we're tired, when we're stressed, and we tend to translate that over to our partner, you know, these kind of other, but these are biological issues. Like we can know, like, I love this person. I know they're not against me, but right now it feels like they are totally against me.
Us versus them in this moment.
Yeah, they're on team hate me, you know, but the reality is often very different. And so, let's stretch this out into another domain and look at directly how, because now we have data on how food affects our proclivity towards violence, for example. And this was highlighted in a study. This was conducted by researchers at Oxford University. And they took prison inmates, which is, on one hand, it's kind of, it's unfortunate because of the situation. But on the other side, it's, with science, it's a ward study. So they're able to track everything. So you get some really great data back. But also it's great because you can see when folks think about prison inmates, they have a picture in their mind. They're probably aggressive, violent even. They probably don't follow the rules, whatever. Like we have these associations mentally, whatever they might be. Here's what they found. They took some of the inmates and they gave them improved nutrition in the form of supplements, okay? So increased vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, which we know are critical, and we'll talk about this in a moment. And then they gave another group of the inmates placebos, all right? 3-month study, and here's what they found. The inmates that were able to receive increased nutrition had a 40% reduction in behavioral offenses, all right? Simply by increasing their nutrition versus a placebo. Also, and this was most shocking for me, these folks had a 37% drop in violent offenses simply by improving their nutrition. Now, how many folks are out here walking around that are deficient in critical nutrients that are helping to regulate their emotional stability, that's helping to regulate their mental capacity and just the ability of their executive function of their brain to be like, that's not a good idea. I don't need to respond like this. Most of us, again, we are the sickest nation in the history of humanity, self-inflicted, all right? 135 million Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic right now. It's not a joke. So we're talking about blood sugar dysregulation. It's not a joke. Over 60% of the US population has some degree of heart disease right now. 70% of us are already on pharmaceutical drugs. 115 million of us are regularly sleep deprived. This is not the best us showing up. And now here's the thing, I wanna make sure this is clear. When we're not well, it's not that it's impossible to have patience and perspective taken, to not be aggressive towards another person. It's just harder. It's harder.
You can tap into it, but it's almost like you gotta tap into reserves, or you gotta find another study like meditation, which are all beautiful things. Yeah. It just, you have to work harder towards them.
Yeah. And the point I really wanna make and really help to impress us upon culture is that food matters. Food affects how we show up and how we relate to other people. And right now we have a lot of infighting that's going on with humanity in our country. Particularly, we're just seeing this at a level we've never seen before. You know, and so many people feel frustrated. Like, why won't they listen? Why won't they listen to this logic? Why won't they just understand? And we have a lot of folks who are not well, who are facing off against other folks who are not well. And wondering why we're not getting anywhere.
Regardless of the political affiliation or other stuff, yeah. You just have a lot of unwell people. No judgment placed on it, but you have a lot of unwell people that are butting heads against each other.
And we're not, this is broken brain. You know, this is like this is a real thing. This is a real issue. And again, it's not that it's impossible. We can definitely, again, if I'm not well, if I'm overweight, coming from where I come from, you know, I'm from a family of folks who are obese and diabetic and heart disease. I can have patience and understanding, but I'll tell you firsthand, and this is real, like, I don't know if I've ever talked about this before in this context, but growing up, man, like every single day, there's a violent act in my household. Every day. It might've been impressed upon me, or it might've been me doing it, you know, because it's just how I was taught. You know, I don't want my brother to be a punk. My stepfather doesn't want me to be a punk. My mother, she might say one calm sentence, then she's yelling. Like, if you don't respond within half a second, you know, it's just constant aggression. People are constantly putting their hands on each other. You know, I wake up some days, my mother's got a black eye. You know, there's blood on the floor. You know, all of this aggression happening within our household, but we love each other. That's the crazy part. You better not be the one to hurt one of us. You feel me? Like, we would come together against another outside force so much more forcibly, but we're hurting each other. And I got to see firsthand, you know, when I had my first child, my daughter, and my level of patience being, even though I told myself I would never be like them, I'm never going to be like my parents. But my patience was so low. And now everybody that knows me, you know, even my wife today, my middle child, my son, he was there during the transition. You know, like, he was a little guy. And I asked him I've asked him several times, like, so you can really see the difference. Like, he's like, you're not even the same person with your level of patience.
And you're translating that into your lifestyle now versus your lifestyle then.
Yes, absolutely. So, but a big part of that was just the intakes, you know, the environmental intakes, but also my body and my mind working well. Because here's the thing that I don't talk about as much again. When I changed my own health, being diagnosed with a so-called incurable spinal condition at 20, when I was this aspiring, like, celebrity looking athlete, you know, 15 years old, running a 4.5 40 at one of the like prestigious schools that people go to for, they just churn out major league athletes, you know, professional athletes. But my body started breaking down. You know, 15 years old at track practice, I broke my hip. Eventually diagnosed with this so-called incurable spinal condition, degenerative disc disease, basically this really intense accelerated aging disease of my spine. And when it took 2 years for me to stop blaming other people, because the thing going on in my mind, in my broken brain, was, it's called instinctive elaboration. The human brain is always answering, it runs on questions. And so I was constantly asking, why me? Every day on repeat, but I didn't realize it. Why me? Why is this happening to me? And most importantly, the one that was the most disempowering that I asked all the time is, why won't somebody help me? Just on repeat. And after the fourth doctor told me the same thing, there's nothing I could do. He gave me bed rest. 2 years later, he told me bed rest. I could walk. I was in pain, but I could walk. Bed rest. Gave me another prescription and told me there's nothing he could do. I'm sorry. After it took me four times for me to finally realize, and I was there by myself, and I thought about him. I was like, he's probably having dinner with his family. He might mean well, but he's not thinking about me right now. I am responsible for me. It was the first time I realized, and I asked a different question for the first time, and I asked, what can I do to get healthy? Simple change in the question, and it created an entire new domino effect. But here's the thing that I don't share often. Food isn't just food, it's information. When I changed what I was eating, it changed my mind. It changed the way that I saw the world. When I started to feel a little bit better by bringing these nutrients into my body that my body was craving for, I started to see the world differently. I started to see the relationships that I had around me, and consciously and unconsciously, I started to avoid relationships that tended to disempower me and started to invite relationships that empowered me and supported me. It just started to happen, but it didn't really just start to happen. You know, when I started to feel better, my mind worked better. Actually, and this is the thing that we have so much data on, of course, that we talk about in Eat Smarter, and it made it easier to make the right choice. It made it easier. I went from somebody who was so selfish. I hate saying this, man. I was so self-centered, but I'm not that person. It was a survival mechanism. Like, I was in an environment where I could die from just going out my door, and also even my own household, my own family members. My brother, he almost died at the hands of one of our family members. This self, this feeling of being selfish and self-centered was a survival mechanism. When I started to feel better, I was able to, it completely went to the other end. Like we talked about earlier, the pendulum swung the other way, maybe too far, but I became so obsessed with other, but not from an unhealthy place. So it kind of can be, but I wanted to serve. I wanted to help other people, and I was on fire to do it. And it all happened by changing what I was putting in my body. That was the bridge. There's many paths to the goal. For me, food is one of those things. It gets in and it literally starts to change how your cells are working. It's changing what your brain is doing. And again, it just makes it so much easier to do the thing that we want to do.
Food is complicated. It's the key controller of our state of health or disease. It's a social centerpiece for most of us, for the key moments of our lives. And it's the building block that creates our brain, enabling us to have thoughts, feelings, and emotions. It's the thing that makes us who we are and how we relate to other people and interact with the world around us. By improving our food choices, we're not only improving our metabolism, enhancing our cognitive function, and increasing our longevity, but we're also becoming more resilient, more confident, more peaceful, more happy, more resourceful human beings. An investment in food and cleaning up your diet and breaking free of the processed food paradigm is an investment in your brain and an investment in your mental health and an investment in world peace. Thanks for tuning in for this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.